continue with our series, Taking Ground. Taking Ground. As we continue with the series, I believe we are being encouraged. Amen. Even our bones are not broken, even if a car runs over us. Amen. Because we are taking ground. Hallelujah. We are taking ground with the Lord. The Lord is with us. Well, it's been a wonderful, as we are almost getting closer to the end of this series, it's been a wonderful, series. I believe we have been encouraged and we have been, we have received a lot of knowledge, spiritual knowledge, on how to tackle some of the issues that we go through. This has been a very interesting series, like I said. We started from the time that the children of Israel left Egypt, where they were in bondage for so many years, and there's been a lot of teachings as we went through this journey, just to see what they went through, their encounters, the difficulties that they experienced, some of the favor and the goodness of God that came through on their journey. So it's a learning curve to some of us and to every one of us, and we believe it's going to change our attitude and our lifestyles. Okay, last week, Brother Tim did a wonderful preaching on what it will be like if we disobey God as we take ground. And we had a testimony or story of, is it Achan? Achan who disobeyed the Lord. And we heard the consequences. He gave a very good also example, illustration from the Second Kings, First Kings, about Haman who was suffering from leprosy. Very rich man, was in charge, but the problem he had was leprosy, and how he went to seek for help to the man of God, and how Gehazi had disobeyed Elisha, and the consequences of disobeying the instructions of the man of God, or the instructions of God through the man of God. So building from that, we can also look at other areas as we look at today's topic on taking ground together through integrity. We see in the Bible there are so many people in the Bible, like Brother Tim said, we just have to familiarize ourselves with this taking ground. But those people were just human beings like us. And God has got a way of leading our lives in a special way. So I can give you other examples besides Achan or beside Gehazi. If you look at Abraham, also had his shortcomings. He was able to lie that he was not good, to say Sarah was not a wife. I mean, Isaac also lied. Jacob also lied and deceived his brother of his birthright. There are so many people that failed God, that disobeyed God. Look at Samson. Look at David himself, the king, great king in the Bible. How he had to lose it and got tempted and committed sin with Bathsheba. Amen. Those are some of the great people, the great names, and many others that in the Bible failed God. So today, as we continue with Joshua, the book of Joshua, let's go to chapter 9. First, let's listen to the whole chapter, and I'll cover a bit of chapter 10, and I'll ask Brother Tim to read for me chapter 10. Let me just read chapter 9 so that I don't strain your eyes. Amen. Joshua chapter 9.
Joshua chapter 9. Now then, all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, those in the hill country and the western foothills and along the entire coast of the great sea, as far as Lebanon. The kings of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, they came together to make war against Joshua and Israel. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins cracked and mended. The men put worn and patched sandals on their feet, and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and the men of Israel, "Who have come from a distant country, make a treaty with us." The men of Israel said to the Hivites, "But perhaps you live near us. How then can we make a treaty with you?" "We are your servants," they said to Joshua. But Joshua asked, "Who are you and where do you come from?" They answered, "Your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God. For we have heard reports of him, all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtoreth. And our elders and all those living in our country said to us, 'Take provisions for your journey. Go and meet them and say to them, we are your servants, make a treaty with us. This bread of ours was warm when we packed it at home, and the day we left to come to you. But now, see how dry and moldy it is. And these wineskins that we filled with new, but now, see how cracked they are, and our clothes and sandals are worn out by the very long journey.' The men of Israel sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live, and the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath. 3 days after they made the treaty with the Gideonites, the Israelites heard that they were neighbors living near them. So the Israelites set out, and on the third day came to their cities, Gibeon, Kibroth, Beeroth, and Kiroth Jearim. But the Israelites did not attack them, because the leaders of the assembly had sworn an oath to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. The whole assembly grumbled against the leaders, but all the leaders answered, "We have given them our oath by the Lord, the God of Israel, and we cannot touch them now. This is what we will do to them. We will let them live, so that the wrath will not fall on us for breaking the oath we swore to them." They continued, "Let them live, but let them be woodcutters and water carriers for the entire community." So the leader's promise to them was kept. Then Joshua summoned the Gibeonites and said, "Why do you deceive us by saying, 'We live a long way from you'? Wow, actually you live near us. You are now under a curse. You will never cease to serve as woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my God." They answered Joshua, "Your servants were clearly told how the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you the whole land and to wipe out all its inhabitants from before you. So we feared for our lives because of you, and that is why we did this. We are now in your hands. Do to us whatever seems to good and right to you." So Joshua saved them from the Israelites, and they did not kill him. That day he made the Gibeonites woodcutters and water carriers for the community and for the altar of the Lord at the place the Lord would choose. And that is what they are to this day.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. Wonderful story. And we can learn a lot from this story. I'll read also part of chapter 10, because there are two chapters that we are looking at. Now, at verse 1 from chapter 10, "Now Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had taken Ai and totally destroyed it, doing to Ai and its kings as he had done to Jericho and its king. And the people of Gibeon had made a treaty of peace with Israel and were living near them." Verse 2, "He and his people were very much alarmed at this, because Gibeon was important city, like one of the royal cities. It was large than Ai, and all his men were good fighters. So Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, appealed to the Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jamath, Japhia, king of Rashith, and Debir, king of Eglon, came up to help. Come up and help me attack Gibeon," he said, "because it has made peace with Joshua and the Israelites." So verse 5, "Then the five kings of Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jamath, Rashish, and Eglon, joined forces. They moved up with all their troops and took up positions against Gibeon and attacked it. Verse 6, "The Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal, 'Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help, because the Amorites, king of the hill of The hill country have joined forces against us. Verse 7. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hands. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." Verse 9. After all night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, who defeated them in a great victory at Gibeon. Israel pursued them as long as the road going up to Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Azedek and Makeda. As they fled before Israel on the road down from the Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them from the sky, and more of them died from the hailstones than were killed by the sword of the Israelites. Verse 12, on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "O sun, stand still over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. As it's written in the book of Jasher, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. Verse 14, there has never been a day like it before or since a day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Amen. God was fighting for Israel. Can we go to the next slide, please? Let's just learn. Well, this is just a map of what we've been reading about. So this is the Jordan River. They crossed it in Jericho. They defeated Jericho. And last week we heard how the Israelites defeated Ai, verse 8. Though we didn't cover it much. And then this is the region. The Gibeonites are here. And this is Jerusalem, and all these are Makeda and Libna and Orashis and Eglon. So this is the region that they had their enemies in. Okay? And let's just go to the next slide. First of all, what is integrity? Sorry? Amen. Honest and self-discipline. And this is what I found when I tried to Google it from the dictionary. It's a quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. That is honesty. And there are some of the attributes of integrity, like honorableness, upstandingness, good character, principles, ethics, morals, righteousness, morality, nobility, high-mindedness, etc. Sincerity, truthfulness, and trustworthiness. These are some of the attributes of integrity. And they are very, very important, especially to us, children of God, that we need to have integrity. Even as we are looking at taking ground, how we can take ground as children of God, we need to have integrity. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9, the Bible says that the man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. And this is what happened to the Gibeonites. Amen. We heard, I don't have to go through, next slide. I don't have to go through what happened, the story again about the Gibeonites, but they deceived the Israelites. They pretended to be very far away. They came with old clothes, they put on old clothes, sandals, everything, even the food. And unfortunately, the children of Israel had to compromise. Let's learn some of the lessons, or pick out some of the valuable lessons that we can learn from these two chapters. Number one is that Israelites compromised. They took things for granted. And remember in chapter 1, God commanded them to say, they should obey him. They should listen to him. And he instructed them to say, you should wipe your enemies. wiped them off because there was a reason those people were contaminated. God did not want the Israelites to learn evil cultures that they were practicing. So as children of God, we don't have to compromise like the Israelites did by being deceived by their enemies. Yes, Rahab was used by God to help them explore and the land and come out safely, but God did not instruct them to say, you go and make a treaty with the Gibeonites. They compromised. Most of the time as Christians, we do compromise. And as we are learning or looking at this series, let's pick some of the important aspects to say in life or in our Christian walk. Let us not compromise. When God says, don't do this and that, we don't have to compromise. It's part of our integrity as children of the Lord, who are set apart, who are consecrated, who are called for the purpose of serving the Lord, for the purpose of working with the Lord. Amen. And there are consequences for that. Why? Because now they were forced to live side by side with people or with their enemies. People who were not worshipping the true living God. Yes, they heard about God through testimonies. They heard about how God helped them in Egypt. How God was fighting for them. They were gripped with fear. Of course, amen. They were gripped with fear. They recognized to say they could not fight these Israelites on their own, their enemies, the Gibeonites. And that's why from the five kingdoms or from the five kings that came together, you know, to fight the Israelites, the Gibeonites had a solution to say, let us just go and surrender to the Israelites so that we are not killed. But the method that they used was so deceiving. Amen. The method they used was deceiving. And unfortunately, the Israelites compromised. They forgot to inquire from the Lord. And this is what we also do as Christians. Sometimes when we have a situation, instead of, you know, waiting upon the Lord, seeking the face of God, it could be maybe the elders in the church, it could be maybe your prayer partner, or somebody that you know very well, that this person is got stronger faith like myself, or I mean stronger faith than me, you go and seek advice or counsel, or you wait upon the voice of the Holy Spirit to guide you in whatever situation. But we tend to take shortcuts or cutting corners. And we need to inquire from the Lord. I've covered that. We should not be deceptive like the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites were deceptive in what they did, and they paid a price for that. The Bible says they were cursed. Up to today, those people have been made what, slaves. They are woodcutters or wood gatherers and water collectors for the children of Israel. Amen. For the rest of their lives, they were made to be what? Slaves, to live in bondage. They didn't have freedom just because of one idea of deceiving the children of God. Amen. The other lesson we can learn from here is to always honor the word. Amen. The Israelites, the children of Israel, when they realized after 3 days, they say, the Gibeonites, after all, they don't stay very far away. They're just neighbors. They mobilized themselves. They went, especially the young ones, the young soldiers who were very serious to save the Lord. Amen. To go and attack. But they were reminded by the elders to say, no, we cannot kill these people. We cannot attack them. Because we took an oath. We made a treaty with them. Amen. In the presence of the God of Israel. So we cannot take them. And by the grace of God, even Joshua concurred with the elders. Amen. And he said, we should not kill them, but we should allow them to live. But there's a consequence for that. Yes, they honored the promise or the agreement that was signed, but there was a consequence with that. And if you read further, the further chapters in Joshua, you see the the consequences of helping people like the Gibeonites and other tribes that they could not kill. They started copying their way of living. They started worshipping idols as well, the Israelites. Amen. They turned away from God because of this kind of people that they started living with. However, they honored the promise. That's the beauty. They did not kill them. Otherwise, the curse that was upon the Gibeonites would have come back to haunt the Israelites as well. Amen. Next slide. Now, we've been, as men of this church, we've been fellowshipping, and we read through the book of Man in the Mirror. Thanks to Tim, Brother Tim and Brother Jonathan, who helped us to go through. I picked up few areas where we falter when it comes to integrity. And these are morality, number one, and relational, financial, and spiritual areas. In terms of morality, these are the areas where, in general, people of the world, in general, not only Christians, we are battling morality in our day-to-day lives. We battle with ethical issues in our lives. It could be at place of work. We are compromising. Sometimes we go to work late. We knock off late. We pick small things from our offices or from our work. Or we mistreat people. There is no integrity. We want to make our business thrive sometimes. We compromise in the way we do things. Amen. And this also is not just the general population, but even amongst Christians. We do compromise. In other words, things that we are doing in secret, after maybe we leave church, or we leave the people that we are normally familiar with there. They are not there in the dark corners. We talk about other people, we gossip, we condemn, we accuse. Sometimes we compromise in the area of our relationships with friends. We compromise in the area of marriage. There are so many marriages that are under attack, and today this is the area where the devil is attacking so much. People are not faithful sometimes in their marriages. Or we compromise with our family members. We abuse them and all that. But when we come into the house of God, I'm not talking about Hilton or Crossway Church, but just Christianity in general, you find that people are having problems. In the area of finances, how we handle our incomes. Amen. Sometimes it's difficult even to pay tithe. I'm not talking about Crossway. I know this church people are good tithers, but in some areas people don't even pay tithe. Sometimes in some, it could be in the area of spiritual, some churches, if people are not paying tithe, they said, we cannot pray for you, we cannot conduct a funeral for your family member or that, because you don't pay tithe. Sometimes people don't go to church due to lack of commitment. That's also part of poor integrity or lack of integrity in our relationship with God. In other words, we compromise in these four areas, but these are not the only areas where we compromise as Christians. I'm just trying to highlight them so that you know to say, when it comes to morality, as children of God, we have to have high moral standards, because that's what God wants. When it comes to relationship, the way we relate, relationship has to start with God, the way we relate ourselves to God. That love for God, that love for Jesus should be translated even to the people that we interact with in our daily lives. Our financial commitment, if where there is integrity in our financial commitment, you find that we won't be able to struggle to pay people salaries if you are in the position of paying salaries. We won't be struggle to pay tithe if it's time to pay tithe. We won't be in a situation where we want to make fast money for the sake of prosperity. We always consider the consequences. What is God saying with the method of that I'm using to make my money? So these are some of the areas that we have to be aware of as we take ground as Christians. To say, how are we doing in terms of maintaining our integrity with God. Next slide. Now, how do we maintain integrity as we take ground? That's the question this morning. How do we maintain our integrity? Number one is we need to walk with Christ. If you don't have Christ in this evil world we are living in, you cannot cope. They say it's wafawafa. I don't know wafawafa. It's wafawafa meaning you have to do it. It's survival of the fittest, especially in business. You have heard of big companies that have been, you know, defrauding people, defrauding government, defrauding the tax, SARS, just to make it in business. It's because of what? Lack of integrity. And if we don't have Christ, you can easily fall into that temptation as well. We need to walk with Christ. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit to remind us whether what decisions that we are taking in our daily lives are in line with the Word of God, are in line with the principles of God. Amen. Is it pleasing to God? Is it going to bring glory and honor to God if you take or you do some business with people? Amen. And in John chapter 15 verse 5, the Bible says, I am the vine. Amen. I am the vine and you are the branches. Who are the branches? We are the branches. And Jesus is our vine. If we remain in Jesus, if we anchor our lives in Jesus, if we connect ourselves to Jesus, even committing our businesses, our career, whatever we are doing, our marriages, if they are anchored in Jesus as the foundation of our lives, will bear much fruit. Apart from Jesus, we are nothing. We can be misled anytime. We can compromise anytime. Amen? Without Jesus. Number two, we don't have to conform to this world. Amen? We don't have to live according to the traditions of this world, according to the principles of this world. We don't have to live according to how everyone is doing things to make it happen. Amen? We are children of God. Amen? Who are saved. If you are saying we are saved, we don't have to live according to the pattern of this world. Romans 4 verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, to the traditions of this world, to the way of doing things in this world, because though we are in this world, we are not from this world. Amen? Hallelujah. But we should be transformed by renewing of our minds, renewing of our hearts, renewing of our attitude, because we are no longer our own. We are God's properties. We belong to Jesus. Jesus is our captain. So we have to live according to the teachings that Jesus gave us. Amen. And by doing that, we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. And what is the will of God for us as children of God? The will of God is God. It's pleasing. And it is perfect will. Amen. But if we don't live, if we live according to this world's traditions or way of doing things, we are going to compromise and we cannot see the goodness of God in the promised land, the land of abundance that God has given us. Amen. We have to live according to the will of God. Matthew chapter 7 verse 13. The Bible says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through that wide gate. Amen. Verse 14, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few can find that gate. Only few can go through that. Where are we? Are we entering through the wide gate or the broad road which leads to destruction? Because that's the path everyone has taken today. We are living in the world of materialism. There is no integrity. Amen? There is no integrity. Everyone wants to make it. In whatever, be in our academic life, be it in our careers or our businesses, everyone wants to make it. Everyone is fighting for marriages. Everyone wants to maintain a high standard from the neighbor. Amen. And that road leads to what? Distraction. But we as children of God, especially Crossways church members, let us strive to go through the small gate. Amen. And what's that small gate? That small gate is Jesus Christ. Amen. He says it in John chapter 10. Can someone read for me? John chapter 10, verse 7. Quickly, verse 7 to 10. Brother Tim, are you ready? Or Sister Heather? Or Elana? Verse 7 to 10.
Explained it to them, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life.
Where can we find the rich and satisfied life? Through Jesus. He's the gate. So let us not rush into these other means of making it happen in life or doing things in our own way. But let us depend on Jesus. Amen. To be our gate, to guide us, to be our good shepherd, to lead us in whatever situation. Amen. Because He came that we may have life and life in abundance. He came that we may have peace and peace in abundance. He came that we may have joy and joy in abundance. But the broad gate will lead us to what? To destruction, to lead us to misery, to regrets, to consequences that we cannot bear on our own. Amen. Next slide. Obedience. And this is just opposite what, the follow-up on what the man of God preached last week, Brother Tim. Thank you for that power of preaching. Amen. Obedience is key. We cannot be obedient. We cannot have or sustain integrity as children of God without being obedient to God. We need to be obedient. And even God told the children of Israel as they were traveling to the promised land. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 32 up to 33, it says, "So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Verse 33, walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your life in the days of the land that you possess." Due to disobedience, Achan that we learned last week could not, including his entire family, innocent children, who did not even commit that crime. Amen. They could not enter the promised land. They could not enjoy the fruits of the promised land, though Achan was inside. Why? Because of disobedience. Obedience is key. If we don't obey God, there will be consequences. Even if sometimes we repent to say, "Lord, yes, I've done this, but consequences will still come. Amen. Consequences will still come. We have to obey. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 that we read when we started this book, the Bible said, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips." That's the word of God. We have to make the word of God the standard for our lives. Amen. Always on our lips. Meditate on this book day and night so that we may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. When we obey God, we shall see prosperity. Everyone wants to prosper, but how to maintain that prosperity? You need to have good integrity. If you don't maintain good integrity, that prosperity will become a curse. You start regretting to say, it's not even worth it to have all this wealth, all these things that I've been craving for, because we don't have integrity. But if we walk with Christ, if we obey God, amen, we honor God, we shall enjoy the prosperity that is in the land of abundance which we are taking. When we obey God, we walk with Christ. Let's look at the last one. Is that the end? That's the last one. In conclusion, as I conclude, let us remember not to compromise as children of God. Let us learn a lesson from what happened to the children of Israel when they conquered Gibeonites. Number two, let us always remember to seek the face of God in whatever situation, circumstance. Even if it looks ugly, or even if the situation is for us or against us, let us always remember to inquire from the Lord. David was a successful man of God. If you read the book of Samuel and what he went through, both 2 and 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, David went through that because most of the time he was inquiring from God. Before he could do anything, he was asking God. Number 3, let us always be obedient to God and avoid deception. We cannot avoid deception in our own powers, in our own intelligence or our own efforts. Brother Jonathan, we cannot do it. We need the grace of God. We need to live and walk with Christ. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Then we cannot say, "Here, my brother, you want to deceive me," and then you avoid. How do we do that? The Bible says, resist the temptations of the devil, and the devil will flee from you. As long as we are with the Lord. As long as we are with the Lord. May the Lord bless the word of God. Let's stand up and pray.